Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery. Well, we're going to be taking a break this week from some of the more technical discussions we've been having. And Mike Seymour is speaking with Teresa Hall of Muse Recruitment in Sydney. Now, Teresa specializes in placing visual effects artists at jobs around the world, in places like MPC, WIDA, Digital Domain. She'll be talking a little bit about her company, some future plans for it, but also really just giving some tips to effects artists and what to do when you're looking for a job, how to assemble your reel, how to kind of target your skill sets for facilities. I mean, she has firsthand discussions with the people who are doing the hiring of facilities, so she really has some good insight into specifically what they're looking for and really how you need to present yourself to these facilities. So let's head on down to Sydney, where Mike Seymour has Teresa Hall on the line. Mike?
Well, thanks for that, John. So, Teresa, let's start by just asking the obvious question. Where have you been placing people in the last year or two?
Okay, Pandemic Studio, Postmodern, Rocket Squad, The Moving Picture Company, Digital Domain, Frame Store, Photon Visual Effects, to name several.
So you've got quite a few frequent flyer miles under the belt.
Oh, yes, too many to mention.
Okay, so I guess the thing is we were trying to hit you up for some advice for people who are interested in either shifting jobs or getting that dream job. So let's start out and work through those stages from showreel to rocking up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the most obvious thing that somebody does when they want to get a job is they make a showreel and they send it to everybody and their dog.
Yep.
And so 1,000 showreels arrive on somebody's desk and you'll hope that you'll just miraculously stand out from the crowd. There is, in fact, another way to go, isn't there?
Yes. Well, there's a science of getting the right showreel, and there's me. I'm a great conduit for a real job.
So you'd basically act as effectively the agent or the middle person between the person wanting to get the job and the company that's seeking. Sometimes, I guess, you're approached by the company after people, and sometimes you're approached by somebody desperate to find somewhere to land.
Yes, I could either reverse market a specific skill. Don't tell me you're an all-rounder. If you've got a specific skill, that's how I'll reverse market you. And quite a lot of companies at crunch time call me and say, we need to work together because I understand you do have a global presence and you do have a database of these fabulous people and you know their availability and their skill set.
So somebody, let's take the case that somebody comes to you and they say, I've got a reel, I want to get a job.
Mm.
You've already said one thing I noted, which was don't be a generalist.
Yeah. No,
so.
There's no such thing, not unless you're Einstein, and he's no longer with us. to be a generalist, I mean, some of these software packages are so huge. To say that you have a specific skill, if you're particularly good at rigging or animating or particles, you're a technical director, you're a MelScripter, that type of thing. I know I'm generally talking about 3D here, but also conversely so with 2D. Give me what you really like doing.
Because we've seen that problem where somebody's gone, well, not only did I direct this DVD, but I produced it, I wrote the music, I did the 3D, the 2D, the lighting, the camera work, and I can do anything. And in fact, that's rarely somebody at the other end of the phone. You don't get a phone call saying, give me somebody that can do everything, do you?
No, not at all. No, that's, and the janitor on the job. No, it doesn't work like that. The requirements I get from companies are very specific. And when they come to ringing me, they know exactly what they need, the skills that they need. We need a rigger, we need a particles TD, we need somebody that's great with feathers and great with rendering, RenderMan. So yes, it is at that stage, it is specifics, but so please be pedantic on your reels as to what you've actually done on that show reel. And anyway, go on, Mike, otherwise I'll go on all day.
No, that's fine. So let's say, what makes a good reel? I mean, let's say somebody has narrowed it down and decided that they do want a specific job in a specific area.
Yep.
What do you look for on a reel?
We always say we look for something different. But just to keep it simple, the before and after shots are fantastic because quite a lot of the time you look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. But when you see green screen and what the work you've actually done and do a bit of a real breakdown on each shot, watermark it maybe, just be very, very, very general in that area, like I was renderer or I was lighter. So that's really cool. So to be, and make sure that your details are actually on that reel. The cover letter with the reel, it will always inevitably be lost.
So you want to make sure the actual reel has name and contact details and presumably what you're after. So, I mean, if let's say I want to get a job as a matte painter, put your name on the reel, matte painter.
Yep, digital matte painter and the best shot, obviously, on the cover of that reel or something. Or you consider to be your best shot.
And leading off into the reel, best shot up front and keep it short, wouldn't that
be? Yeah, keep it very, very short because nobody has time. You don't even have to do music over. Most people view the reels with the music down. They do. It's bizarre.
And, and I've certainly viewed reels in fast forward before now because...
Yeah.
And I think that's also where a montage can work against you.
Yeah.
Because a fast, rapid montage, it's hard to take out a shot from that.
Yeah.
And it's fun to show lots of stuff fast cutting, but then unless you're going for the job of an editor, it's probably better to take time on each shot.
Yep.
And how long is a good time for a reel? I mean, that was gross generalisation, but...
Ooh, wow. 1.5, 2, 3 minutes. If you get anywhere near 7, you've lost us. Totally. They look fabulous, but we're not watching a movie. We want you to make the movie.
So the idea, I guess, is keep it short, and then DVD would be the most common format?
Yeah, it is, other than my new site where you can actually upload the reels.
Well, we'll come back to your new site in a second because that is really interesting.
Yeah.
So let's say somebody's got the good reel. They've turned up and they've identified that they want this particular one position.
Yeah.
How global is the market? How easy is it to move countries? Is it really the case that you're better off in the market that knows you? Or is it quite possible these days to jump ship? I mean, we always hear about how hard it is to get an American visa, for example.
It's not with this specific skill set because America has looked at it favourably to bring people in with that skill set, especially to finish films. When you're on crunch time, when the trailer's released, they'll let you in. Not a problem.
And most people are actually contract position these days, or is it staff positions?
No, mostly contract. With the gaming companies now, it's going to staff positions because it's such a global market and you don't want to lose a key programmer, so they put them on full time.
Well, let's say I'm in a full time position and I know what my salary is full time.
Mm.
Do I have any kind of rule of thumb of how much I should get based on my full time salary? In other words, should I expect to get a bit more because it's a contract position, or should I just... You know, it's swings and roundabouts.
No, you will get more of a shorter position, and you'll be working harder too.
And what's the common sort of situation with overtime? And I mean,
most companies say work 50-hour week, and then after that, it ends. It's specific companies, but America is usually. I can't really comment on America. They've got. They employ people full-time a lot of the time in the big companies, you know, ILM and Sony, that type of thing. But Rhythm and Hughes, they ramp up and down, and Digital Domain do as well. But, it's hard to say how much they actually get per week there.
And in Europe, do you find that placing people in London, for example, is it culturally much different in the process of actually getting hired? And obviously the country's different, but...
No, not America's culturally different from London, even Europe, even Paris. That's not that difficult to sort out the legalities of your contract. Most of the time, their HR departments have really worked out how to get you into the country anyway, and they'll work out visas and things like that.
And so let's say I now, you know, have got you to represent me. I've come in with my reel and done all the right things. What's the process? Do you normally just give someone a call and then line up an interview, or is it normally call and have a look at the reel and then be invited for a... Especially if it's overseas, that must be kind of awkward.
No, it's not. It, you know, the web has made it created a global market, and I've always had that in mind. And knowing the companies and developing rapport with them by travelling overseas, they know you then. When you ring them and you see an exceptional talent, you will reverse market them. You'll say, look, I have TD here that's phenomenal. You don't want to lose him. I know you've got Poseidon Adventure to finish. You're better off looking at this guy. And they'll look and they'll go, yeah, quite right, we need him.
So the bigger companies have HR departments that are dealing with that kind of stuff. What happens when you find sort of more creative, smaller shops? It's not always an HR department, is
it? That's when I've worked with the producer before, or the VFX producer, or the VFX supervisor, and they've known me in a film capacity before to assist them out at in dire straits times, and they go, Teresa will come through with the goods, so, or Muse, the company, and so you know the people and the transient workforce, and you'll talk them into one contract over another, and you know they're in Australia or in New Zealand already looking for something. So you got your finger on the pulse with your candidates anyway, or your contractors.
So would it be common that I'd have to go for an interview, or it's quite possible on bigger projects that the reel and the credentials and your recommendation, of course, would do?
You will be interviewed on the phone and right. by the technical team. They'll grill you online as to whether you've got that skill set or not. So it's more of an intro service from me and Muse. So the technical guys that are looking for those people within MPC, they will make the final decision.
So if I'm going for a position at MPC, I guess some positions are more front of house and client orientated than others. But let's assume that we're going for a position, just a general, not a super head of a film project or anything. Any advice for that phone call interview other than kind of be yourself?
Smile when you're speaking. Act as if you want the job. Do your due diligence. Get online. Work out the company that you're going to be speaking to and really... ultimately, you've got to massage these people's egos. You've got to know what they've done before and what they've worked on. And go in with more of an idea than you just picking up the phone. Do your homework.
And so what's the normal situation? Let's say that's gone well, somebody sends you a contract. How complicated are the contracts? And do they get prohibitively complex? You need to bring in lawyers and stuff? Is it just really a matter of saying, look, these are the terms and...
Yeah, it depends on how pedantic you are. I don't think most of the contracts are for the contractor. Well, they're contractor friendly. You know, those people, they want you there, to finish their job. So they're not going to be super difficult. If it's a full-time position, you take it to your lawyer.
And relocating from overseas, is there any kind of standard for when you get somewhere having to put up for a month or...
A couple of companies, like Weta puts you up for a couple of weeks in Wellington, King Kong fame, Peter Jackson. Moving Picture Company in London will put you up for a couple of weeks. ILM will put you up in San Fran for a couple of weeks. And then they'll assist you finding somewhere. And they'll most of the time give you a hire car in America. But in London, everything's pretty close.
Well, let's swing back to talking about your website. You mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, a name change, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're going to, just simply so people can do a Google search on it, we're going to change it from Muse Careers, which doesn't mean a great deal other than knowing us. We're changing it to Creative Job Network. And, go on, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, and the website, because I've seen it, of course, isn't online yet, but coming,
within the month, apparently.
RSN. Real soon now.
Yeah. Those are acronyms. Work in progress.
There you go. So what's going to happen with the website and how will that make it easier for someone that's interested in either hiring or...
The immediacy of it. You can view reels in real time. And for the prospective contractor or employer, you are able... There's a facility on our new site where you can download your reel immediately. You can, I don't even know the exact term, and I should. You download this little mechanism that sits on your desktop. Yeah, my IT department will cringe with that. And it's very simple, few steps to digitise your reel, and then it's viewable instantly. Nobody has to upload, download or anything. So we do a keyword search for RenderMan or, a particles person or lighter in Maya, and your reel will come up if you've got those skills, and then NPC are able to view your reels in real time and you get the contract quicker.
So just for the specifics on that, if I was wanting to be on, I would what, register with the new site?
Yes.
And sorry, did you tell me the URL? What's it going to be?
It will be creativejobnetwork.com. It's free for members, and the companies will pay a small fee per month to place jobs online, and they're able to then search our database. If you will, it's kind of like a Getty Images, MarriedSeek.com.
Okay. But one of the strengths of Muse has been up until, you know, to this point, certainly, that you vetted people and you got to offer that advice when someone phoned up and said, I really need someone good. Mm-hmm. Or alternatively, when you could go, hey, I know this guy, he's really good, he's just done this, trust me. So is the website going to remove your personal hands-on touch?
No.
Or?
In fact, the new site is a tool for recruiters. It's similar to Seek.com, where you place jobs online for architects or doctors or what have you. The majority of the people that use the site are recruiters. And the companies can still use me as use Muse to look for their staff, but we will be using that global database. We've got 585 reels online, and that's even before we started. That's just people's reels that we've digitized.
And just looking around the globe at the moment, what countries are kind of hiring? Where is active, and where is it a lot harder?
London's always been active with MPC and Framestore. We've got America's always active. San Francisco, that's huge at the minute. LA is huge at the minute. Vancouver and Brisbane are very active with gaming. Pandemic Studios really recruiting hard. And Guatemala, can you believe they completed Narnia there? So there's some huge 3D talent there, South America.
And what are the, like if somebody's perhaps less senior and interested in what areas to focus on, I mean, can you name the kind of the apps that are commonly requested for skills in that area? I mean, obviously it's not just about what app you know, but that does come down to it at some point. Some things are more popular than others. What are the sort of things that you get asked to fill for?
Maya, Mill Scripting, Shake, Toxic.
You're getting Toxic requests. That's interesting.
Yeah, we are, actually. And we're getting C++ programmers. Huge, huge demand for the programmers for gaming at the minute.
And so you already said that you're doing gaming and film work. Mm-hmm. What's the split, I guess, between gamers and film? And when you say film, you mean both video?
I think the divide is being closed. The bridge is actually being brought in on that, because there is a crossover. There's a massive crossover.
But what would your split be between companies you're servicing for gaming and companies you're servicing for film?
Like a ratio? Like 80 so film and commercial land and television, probably about 70, and gaming 30.
And has that changed much in the last couple of years?
Yeah, absolutely. It was 80, 90, you would say 90 film, television and commercial land to gaming. Gaming has just really kicked off.
And in terms of salaries, what just is the sort of parity around the world? Is it, I mean, the perception is you get a lot more money working in the west coast of the US than you do almost anywhere else, followed by London. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, but it's relative as to where you're living and the cost of living. Because you're in Australia, you're earning a huge amount, it's less to live here. And in America, it depends where you are. San Fran is much like Sydney. It's as expensive as. London, hugely expensive. Travel's hugely expensive. So you're earning the pound, which is like 2.7 times what we are. And so therefore, you know, you come back to Australia or back to America and you've got similar sort of money in your pocket.
So just general advice, is it build up your credits and build up the reel? Because those are the two things that really cut it, don't they?
Yeah, just be specific and be really fastidious on what projects you take. I mean, we all need to work, but even to do some really good work on commercials, don't knock it back. Keep your reel full all the time. There's some great commercials out there that are award-winning.
And do you find that when you're talking to people, they are snobby about whether people come from commercials or not? Or has that divide also shut down that, you know, because of the
commercials? No, they are snobby. But and they specifically say, look, we want somebody that's in film for 4 and 5 years. And I say, look, please just look at this reel. It is exceptional. This person has got talent. And because you've got the in with the company, they will generally look. But if it was a massive HR flood and they received hundreds of reels, they're not going to look at somebody in commercial land.
Right. Well, the site's going to go up in about a month,
yep.
So before an AB,
mm-hmm.
and we'll certainly be having links to you because we like the idea of running beside you so that people have a chance to to connect up. So we'll put the URL up when it's live.
Brilliant.
But in the meanwhile, they can contact you how in the short term? The next 4 weeks?
info@muserecruitment.com. That's info at M for Mike, U for Uniform, S for Sierra, E for Echo, recruitment.com, or Teresa@musecareers.com.
Just finally, in terms of shows, is SIDGRAPH, which is coming up obviously, still the best place in terms of a career fair kind of place to go?
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
if you're not
very,
doing it online,
very good.
That's the only place to live.
NAB.
Is that good?
SIGGRAPH is the biggest.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, last SIGGRAPH in LA there was about 4,500 people there, and every big company, every gaming company, which they had a huge presence there, and all the big film companies, Pixar and Disney and DreamWorks and what have you, all of them had a presence there.
So you'll be going to SIGGRAPH this year?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Well, thanks for giving me some time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, and all the best.
Well, thanks, Teresa, for taking the time to talk to us this week. Coming up next week in the FX Podcast, we're going to be covering the Autodesk Masterclasses, which are being held the Sunday before NAB. We'll be speaking with a couple of the artists who are going to be speaking at the Fire and the Flame sessions. As most of you know, we've done some live events at NAB for the past 3 years. We're going to be at NAB this year. We're actually going to greatly expand our coverage of NAB for those of you who can't make it out there. We're really excited about that. We've also got a couple big announcements coming up in the next couple of weeks about some new things we're doing on the web where we hopefully we'll just reach a lot more people than what we were able to do at the Las Vegas event. So we're really quite excited about that. So stay tuned to FX Guide for that. Well, that's all the time we're going to take up out of your day this week. For Jeff Huser and Mike Seymour, I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2005 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.